Matthew chapter number 1. We'll look here just for a few minutes together and look at something maybe in line with the Christmas season. And so here in Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading here. And how many of you have liked myself? And when you come to Matthew chapter 1 and you come to Luke chapter number 3, I'll go ahead and admit it. I don't know if you will or not, but sometimes when I come to places like this, I skim over it and go on to something else. Anybody like that, or am I just the only one? When it comes to the book of Leviticus, and in Matthew chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 3, I'll admit, I don't have many secrets at all. And I'll tell you, sometimes I'll skim on over that stuff and move on to something else. But as we look, and especially during the Christmas season, we'll find out that it does bear some importance as far as the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible warns us and the Bible tells us, do not get all tied up in the endless genealogies. And that's not what we're going to do tonight. But nothing in the Bible is there just to take up space. It's nothing there just to have something to put in print. But it's something there that's important God wants us to know. So I don't know if I'm going to tell you all these names or not, but we'll skim over the ones that we need to do. And now, you already know there's two genealogies. One is found in Luke chapter number 3, and the other one is in Matthew chapter number 1. And one of them goes from David all the way down to Joseph, and the other one goes the other direction. It'll go all the way from Jesus, all the way back up to Adam. And that's found in the book of Luke, and there is a reason for that. So in Matthew chapter number 1, let's look at verse number 1 if you can. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Notice generation is singular. The son of David, comma, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brother. Now, if you want to write in your Bible, I do it in pencil. That way it don't bleed through. That's what I do. You do it however you want to do it. That's just the way I found that it helps. Now, Matthew is divided into two major parts. And chapters 1 through 12, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as the King. Chapters 13 through 28 presents Jesus Christ as the suffering Savior. Now, you'll notice right here in verse 1, you'll see the son of David. That pictures chapters 1 through 12. The king line. Chapters 13 through 28 deals with the humanity line. There's where Abraham comes in. You'll notice here that Abraham was born 1,000 years. He was on this earth 1,000 years before David. But you'll see David is mentioned first before Abraham. Now, why is that? Because the book of Matthew presents Jesus Christ as king. And the kingly line is the Davidic line from David. He is a Jew from his mama Mary, but he's a king from his daddy Joseph. And so we'll look at that here in just a few minutes. Now, I want you to notice this real quick. Genesis chapter number 5. Is the other place where the generation of someone is found. Genesis 5. Hold your place there in Matthew. We're coming right back. And I'll show you something real quick right here. Genesis 5. Matthew 1 says, the book of the generation singular of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter number 5. 5 being the number of death. This is the book of the generations. I'm in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Genesis. This is the book of the generations, plural, of Adam. Now, in Genesis 5, you got the generations, plural, of Adam. In Matthew chapter number 1, you got the generation, singular, of Jesus Christ. Now, watch. Keep in mind, just for a minute, 1 Corinthians 15:22, and it says, "For in Adam all die. But in Christ, all are made alive." Generation, only one generation in Matthew 1, it's eternal. Once you get in Jesus Christ, my friend, you're there. You'll never die. But as long as you're in Adam, you'll find in Genesis 5, and he died, verse 8, and he died, verse number 11, and he died, verse number 14, and he died, all the way through chapter number 5, and he died, and he died. In Adam, all died. But in Christ, all are made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. And you can write that down and look at it. Very amazing book that we have, we hold in our hand. Either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Adam, you will die. You say, preacher, I am in Christ. I'm saved. But I know saved folks that have died. No, they didn't die. They just changed addresses. And they moved from this life to the other. And they're in Christ. And it's only one generation in Christ. There's a lot of generations, plural, in Adam. And everybody dies in Adam. But nobody's recorded in Matthew chapter 1 as dying. Now, I know they died. We know they did. It's just not mentioned. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, my friend, is a different story. And so there you see the generation of Jesus Christ versus the generation of Adam. Adam being the first Adam and Jesus Christ being the last Adam. He come to fix what the first Adam couldn't do or failed to do. And so there we go. Now, here we go. David. Notice this. David is the first. Watch. This is good. David is the first human name mentioned in the New Testament. He's also the last human name mentioned in the New Testament. Revelation 22:16. The last human name in the New Testament. He's the first human name, Matthew chapter number 1. And he's the last human name in Revelation 22:16. What does that mean? David is a picture and a type of who? Jesus Christ, the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's an amazing book. We'll see here, of course you'll just write that down if you'd like to. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, which is Judah. Jesus Christ is from the tribe of Judah. He's the line of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, verse number 10, I believe it is. And you'll notice here on the board that we have, of course, I didn't do this all because there's no way I could have got it all on this board. But here we have the generation of Jesus Christ started Abraham in Matthew chapter number 1. And it goes all the way down. And I know David's mentioned first, but I've already told you the reason why. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah, and so on down the line. There's several between Judah, and then all of a sudden there's David. Now, Matthew and Luke run parallel, exactly the same, until you get to David. When you get to David, it splits off. David had some sons, but there was two in particular. One, Solomon, and the other one, Nathan. Mary, Jesus' mother, came from Nathan's side of the family, all the way up to David. Matthew carries you through Solomon. Well, let's look. Let me see where Solomon's name is mentioned. Oh, verse number 6. Jesse begat David, the king. David the king begat who? Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Well, we know about that story, don't we? Her name was Bathsheba, and she was out, you know, bathing or whatever, and David went out on his back porch, and instead of the first looks on you, or first one's on the Lord, second one's on you, he just should have went on back in the house. Instead, he looked back, hello, amen, and then he went over and knocked on the door, and then he got in trouble. Anyway, that's another story. But that's from Solomon, and that'll take you, of course, verse 7, Solomon begat Rehoboam, Rehoboam begat Abi, and Abi begat Asa, and so on all the way down the line. And so Matthew takes you through all the way to Joseph to get to Jesus. You already know, if you listened any Sunday morning and Sunday night, you already know that Joseph is not the real father of Jesus Christ. He was his earthly father. He had nothing to do with the production of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, Matthew. Here's Matthew right here. This is Matthew's line. And it divides here. Here's Luke's. If you look at Luke 3, you'll find Nathan's name mentioned instead of Solomon, and it splits. It'll take you. Heli is Mary's daddy. All the way down to Jesus Christ. Here is, now watch, this is important. You say, preacher, this don't make any sense. Well, yes, it does, because here is the kingly line. This is his right. From this side here in Matthew is his right to sit on David's throne in the millennium. This side is his human. The reason Jesus was a Jew was because of her, not because of him. It's because of her. She was a Jew. Human side traces all the way back to Nathan. Jesus Christ is God deity, and he's 100% human, human man, 100% God. You already should know that, and this will carry you all the way through Solomon, Jacob, all the way down to Joseph. And notice in Matthew chapter number 1, the reason I don't have a line drawn between Joseph and Jesus, watch, look. Verse number 16. Jacob begat Joseph. See, I got it on the board. That's his daddy. The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice the Bible does not say, and Joseph begat Jesus. It does not say that. Why? Because he didn't beget Jesus. All through Matthew, said Abraham begat Isaac. That means it was his son. Isaac begat Jacob. That means Jacob was Isaac's son. Jacob begat Judah. Here we go, all the way down the line. That's his son. When we get down to 16, it says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Joseph had other children besides, Joseph and Mary had other children besides Jesus, but nothing took place between them two. And I look across the congregation, everybody looks to be an adult to me. Nothing took place between them two until after Jesus Christ was born. And Jesus had some other brothers and sisters by Joseph and Mary. Later on, you call them what? Half or step? No, half, wouldn't you? Half, brothers and sisters. You want to know where that's at? It's in Luke, Matthew 13, 55. I think it's in Mark 6 as well. Some other brothers and sisters there. Now, you say, why are you pointing that out? Is because the Catholic Church tells us this, that Mary was a perpetual virgin and she had no other kids. That means when she had Jesus Christ, she was some holy woman we're supposed to bow down to and kiss her toe. And every morning before we get up, we bow down and say, Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace and truth and whatever else. And you're supposed to vain repetitions, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, she needed a Savior just like everybody else did. She was a sinner just like everybody else was. Remember, I told you Sunday morning, didn't any blood go from Mary to Jesus? No blood whatsoever. No blood come from him because he wasn't involved in the thing. So where did he get his blood? He got it from the Heavenly Father, but he got his physical makeup from her. He's a Jew because of her, but his blood come from heaven. And so you'll see Matthew carries you through the kingly line. Now, notice here verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That word espoused is sort of like our word engagement. When you get engaged, you haven't got married yet, you're just engaged. And so the espoused to Joseph, it's a Jewish thing. It was a Jewish thing. Their mom and daddy picked out their wife for the son. Wouldn't that be something? How many of you all's parents would have picked out the wife that you married? Never mind. We don't want to go there. In other words, Joseph's daddy, was it Jacob, said, hey, we want this woman right here to be our husband's lady. And so they espoused one another. They did a little ceremony and they got engaged. And I don't know if they jumped over broom. Some traditions jump over broom. Ours, we just give them an engagement ring. That says we're engaged. You don't, now listen, let me bring it down a little. When you engage, you don't act like and do some of the things you would do if you were married. You just engaged. Hello. Alright, as far as we'll go with that. Notice here, his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Well, now we know where he got his blood from. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, privately. According to Deuteronomy 22, he had every right to put her to death. Had every right. But it just wasn't something. The Holy Spirit was involved in this thing. And then look at verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people Israel from their sins. Now watch. Jesus is his human name. That is his earthly human name. There are some folks, some denominations, and it's just Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus name only, get baptized, Jesus name only, Jesus this, Jesus that, all the way just Jesus. Now my friend, there's nothing, well, I started to say there's nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you this. In the Bible, most unbelievers called him Jesus. Because that's his human name. Anybody that had a personal relationship with him just didn't call him Jesus. They called him Master, Lord, or Rabbi. Why? Personal relationship. Now, preacher, explain that. I think I shared this with you before. There's people in this building, you people, most people, you call me Brother Jeremy or whatever. You go downstairs, you find my kids. Some of them call me Dad. Some of them call me Daddy. Some of them, you know, whatever. And Tracy, she calls me something different. It all depends on your relationship. Now, we won't take time to look at it because I won't get all of this in, but if you'll look sometime in John chapter number 11, the resurrection of Lazarus, all these unsaved people calling him Jesus, 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 but when Mary said, Lord, Master, called him something different. And can I let you on a little secret? You can't be saved just on the name of Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a difference. It's a personal relationship. So, Jesus is that human side, his human name. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And there we go. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him and his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. All other versions take out that word firstborn. They take out firstborn son, because they don't want, they want Mary to be something more than what she was. And he called his name Jesus. Now, we saw Matthew chapter 1, we saw here Solomon, carries you there, the kingly line. Now, something else I want you to notice in Matthew, real quick before we move on to something else. In verse number 3, there's a woman's name there by Tamar. Well, it was Tamar, spelt a little different. And when you run this stuff down, when you go to the Old Testament, you'll see their names are spelt a little different, but it's the same person. Remember a while ago we talked about verse number 2, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas. In the New Testament, it's spelt Judas. When you go from Hebrew to Greek, his name is Judas. In the Hebrew, his name is Judah. Same person. Don't let anybody say, well, there's discrepancies in the Bible. No, it's not. He'll put stuff in there just to see if you're a Bible believer or not. In verse number 3, Judas begat Phares and Zerar of Tamar. Tamar. Anybody remember who Tamar was? She was a woman. Hey, let's see. She's the first woman named in the New Testament. The last woman in the New Testament, Revelation 22, I think 17, is the bride. This Tamar was the woman. She was a what? Harlot? Look down in verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile Moabitess girl. And she done somehow got up in the line of Jesus Christ. How'd she do that? She married the kinsman redeemer. How is all these sinful people in the line of Jesus Christ? Can I let you on a little secret? You got in too. By marrying a kinsman redeemer. You see, this right here, why did God put all these sinful people who had been the wife of Uriah's Bathsheba's name, or her name was actually implied here, something sinful happened. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, all of us, if we got what we deserve, we'd go to hell. But guess what? Jesus came and He said, if you'll let me be your kinsman redeemer, I'll bring you into the line. And my friend, according to Romans chapter number 9, I done got grafted in. I done got grafted in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway. Look at verse number 11. Let me touch this real quick. And Josiah begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now, you want to write out beside of that, Jeconias, write Jeremiah 22:30 says that Jeconias was a cursed man. Nobody could sit on the throne of David and come from Jeconias. Kaniah in the Old Testament. Well, guess what? There is no connection between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph adopts Jesus, and he still, listen, when you adopt a child, they're still in your inheritance. When they take your name, you die, what? They still, if you leave them something in the inheritance, that they are considered your child, even though they may not be any blood relation. So because of the relation, or the lack thereof, Joseph took him on, adopted him, raised him up. He was able to sit on the throne of David, and you can trace him back to David through his mama as well on the human side. Now, who in the, you know, the devil thought he killed that lion and said, "Hey, it won't be no Messiah coming from here. We didn't kill that." But he forgot about the virgin birth. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I know him. He knows me. And, my goodness. Look at Luke, real quick. Luke 3. I'm going to show you this other. Luke 3, real quick. Luke 3. The genealogy starts about number 21, and it goes the other direction. We're going backwards instead of forwards like we were before. Now, notice verse number 23. Now, here, somebody will try to throw you a loop on this one. Look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. If you take that out, you're in trouble. As was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Well, hang on a minute now. You know what they're going to do? They're going to show you, said, "Hey, Heli wasn't Joseph's daddy. That's Mary's daddy." See, there's a discrepancy in the Bible. Well, look. In Matthew, it's begat. Begat, begat. That's a direct son of. In Luke, trace it all the way back. The son of. The son of. The son of, which can be, watch, which can be a son, grandson, great-grandson, or son-in-law. Which was the son of Heli. His son-in-law. That's his son-in-law. Hello? Is everybody okay? Yeah. Now, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they call me son. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe you don't want them calling you. Make sure everything's all right until you find out if you're an inheritance or not. Anyway, y'all are, man, I'm giving up on y'all. Here we go. Let me find, verse number 31 is what I want to show you. Got sidetracked just a little bit. Here's where it changes in Luke to Matthew. Which was the son of Melei, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Matthew took us from Solomon. Luke takes us from Nathan. Two different lines down all the way back to David. But it's a human side, and a kingly side, a deity side. There was two sides to Jesus Christ. I know you know this already, but watch. You know, Jesus, when he was with his disciples, now watch. Was he God? All right. Then why did he walk everywhere he went? If I was God, I wouldn't be walking no 4 days journey. It wouldn't have took me no 4 days to get to Lazarus. That's God. Why? He was God, but he subjected himself to humanity and he walked with everybody else. Hello? Two sides. Hey, John 4, write that down sometime. John 4, meets the woman at the well, says, hey, lady, I'm fixing to paraphrase for you. This is the Ballinger translation. don't nobody have a heart attack. They said, lady, I'm thirsty. Would you give me the drink? Well, listen, God don't get thirsty. That was his human side talking, right? Then later on in the conversation, he says, woman, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you shall never thirst again. What did he just show you? His deity side. 100% man, 100% God. Two different lines, one in Matthew, one in Luke, and they're both there. One's Davidic, one is Abrahamic. Human, all the way up. That's the reason he was a Jew, because he follows all the way up to Abraham. He's a king, going to sit on his father through David, through Joseph, in Matthew. You think about something else. You remember when, I got a sermon I'm going to try to preach some of these times, when God, what do you do when God goes missing? You remember Jesus was what? 12 years old, something like that? They're headed down, they just left the temple and what? They turned around. How do you lose a 12-year-old boy? Well, it's pretty easy. Turn around, he ain't nowhere to be found. And they go and they find him in the temple. Mama is hot. You hear me? She's hot. She says, boy, why have you done us this way? Me and your father have been looking for you. And he said, give her a little mild rebuke. Listen, don't try that. You ain't God. Don't backtalk your mama. He got away with it just a little bit because he was God. But he said, I'm supposed to be about my father's business, capital F, father, up there. This fellow you just called my daddy is really not my daddy. Uh-oh. Human side. God's side. Bottom of the ship. Jesus asleep in the bottom of the ship. Tired. God don't sleep. But the human side of Jesus Christ slept. Bottom of the ship. What? I said, hey, master, care about that we perish. We're about to die here. Waves and everything is coming in. What are we going to do? He just wakes up, wipes his eyes and all like that. Goes to the bail of the ship, says, hey, peace, be still. And the winds are like, man, that's the same voice that created us. It said, spoke us into existence. Boys, y'all better lay down. Rain, y'all better hush up. God's talking. I thought he was just asleep. Well, he was. That was his human side. He gets up. Peace be still. Everything lays down. Two different sides. Lazarus. What does he do at the tomb of Lazarus? Man, there's a tear going down his face. God, don't cry. Jesus does. But then after he wants the tears out of his eyes, he says, hey, Lazarus, come forth. A human cannot do that. Cannot raise somebody from the dead. But he could because he's 100% human, 100% God. Two different sides, Matthew and Luke. That's him. You say, preacher, why are you telling us all this stuff? Because I can't do it on Sunday morning. I do it on Sunday, Wednesday night. We can't do this. Man, these people be half asleep on Sunday morning talking about some of the stuff. And some of you are. It's a blessing to me to know, ladies and gentlemen, the very person that lives on the inside of me is God Almighty. He was virgin born and he died, and when he shed blood on the cross of Calvary, it was Holy Ghost blood. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, there's other things we could look at. Jesus verses in the, let me show you one other thing before we close. Look at Matthew. I tell you what, look at Luke 4. Excuse me, Acts 4. My mind's erasing. Settle down. Acts 4. We call him Christ. Acts 4. Acts 4, 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. That's 4:26. Now, you'll look at Psalm 2:2. You want to know what the word Christ means. Psalm 2:2. Psalm 2:2. Here we go. There's the problem. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His what? What's Christ mean? Anointed. What's anointed mean? Christ. Does anybody know Greek or Hebrew? We didn't have to. We got the Word of God in front of us. The Bible's the best dictionary upon itself. Why did he have to be anointed? Because he had to be anointed to be just what we talked about Sunday night. We're not going to talk about that again. Prophet, priest, and king. He had to be anointed, all three of them. You know why that woman had to anoint the feet of the Lord before he got crucified? That's why. You know why he had to get baptized? He had to be cleansed. Clean. Of high priest. Cleansing. It's a wonderful book. Listen, Christmas is more. Can I say this? Hey, preacher, why are you talking about all this stuff? Because it's a lot of stuff to get in before Christmas. You know what? Christmas is more than just Santa Claus. Yeah. Amen. It's more than just, you know, who gets the big gift and what this, that, and the other. It's more than that. It's more than a Christmas tree. And I listen, you put one up, we put one up, right? Tracy did. I don't put it up. That way it's a judgment seat of Christ. If there's anything wrong with it, I don't get blamed for it. Hello? I don't care if we have one. Help yourself. I'm not going to knock anybody else out for having one. But if there's something wrong with it, Jeremiah 10, there's something a little bit with to that, judge feet of Christ, ain't going to be on me because I didn't touch it. How you handle it? And that's a good way to get out of putting the thing up. Having a fool with it. But listen, we do all that stuff. We do all that stuff. And I understand Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I know that stuff. I know it's a pagan holiday as far as where it come from, the idea where it come from, the winter solstice and all that kind of crazy stuff. I understand all of that. But you know what? When I get to studying that book and find out that this person that we are actually celebrating the birth of is 100% God, 100% man, and if you're saved, He lives on the inside of you through the sweet Holy Spirit of God. That, my friend, makes a whole lot of difference. That makes a big difference. It does to me.